Today, we're looking at the Western Cape government's 2019 to 2020 transport budget. It's a document that reveals exactly how a regional government basically abandons its growth plans when an environmental crisis forces it into pure survival mode.
Yeah, it really is just pure survival mode.
Okay, let's unpack this. The minister's own foreword makes it clear this isn't just, you know, random numbers in a spreadsheet. It's a policy tool shaped by some pretty massive emerging crises.
Right. The text calls out a crippling drought fueled by climate change, which was severely restricting water availability. And that's happening alongside a really sluggish economy with rising unemployment.
Wow. So just twin pressures hitting at once.
Exactly. And because of those constraints, the Department of Transport and Public Works, or DTPW, they had to adopt a strict maintenance-first principle.
Which makes sense. I mean, looking at their physical assets, they didn't really have a choice, right? A huge portion of their paved road network is reaching the end of its design life.
Yeah, and the report stresses that letting that infrastructure crumble to the point of total replacement is just exponentially more expensive than aggressive upkeep.
That's like homeownership, you know? Like you're desperately patching a leaky roof while the foundation is sinking, which completely forces you to abandon building that new extension you actually wanted.
That is a great way to put it. And what's fascinating here is how this shift reflects a much broader survival strategy. It actually aligns with the National Development Plan's goal of mitigating poverty.
Wait, how does fixing old roads mitigate poverty?
Well, by intentionally choosing labor-intensive maintenance methods over using heavy automated machinery, they are actively trying to generate public employment jobs. It feeds directly into this broader goal of reaching 2 million public works participants by 2020.
Oh, wow. So since money for shiny new infrastructure is off the table, they are forced to ruthlessly optimize what they already have, which totally explains the transition we see from roads to public property and rail.
Yeah, the DTPW actually proudly reports using less electricity per square meter in its properties than the private sector.
That's pretty impressive.
It is, and they drastically cut water usage following those late 2018 restrictions. But that optimization hits a real brick wall when you look at the commuter rails.
Right.
The document describes the rail service, especially in Cape Town, as being in an outright dire state.
Dire. That is a strong word for a government budget report. Yeah. So to fight this, there was a 2018 joint initiative, right? Metrorail, PASA, and the City of Cape Town each committed 16 million rand for rail safety.
Yes, and the report notes early signs of improvement and numerous arrests from that.
Okay, but I have to push back here. I mean, 16 million rand per party for an entire metropolitan rail network openly described as dire. That feels like a Band-Aid on a systemic failure. Is that genuinely enough money?
Well, it's a valid question, but the document frames it as an initial safety stabilization effort, not a total infrastructure overhaul.
There's no new tracks or anything.
Right, no new trains. That combined funding is targeted squarely at a joint security initiative, putting literal boots on the ground to secure the stations and protect the commuters so the whole system doesn't just collapse entirely.
That makes sense. And you can see that exact same crisis management mindset applied to road safety. The department is heavily leaning into technology to compensate for limited manpower.
Yeah, they're utilizing automatic number plate recognition and rolling out evidentiary breath alcohol testing, or EBAT.
EBAT. And that utilizes roadside breathalyzers that are so accurate, the results can be used directly in court, right?
Exactly. To secure a conviction, it entirely skips the time-consuming process of drawing blood. But the minister stresses a really sobering reality in the report. Technology cannot fix the public's total disregard for traffic laws.
Well, I mean, you can buy court-ready breathalyzers, but you can't buy a societal shift in behavior.
Exactly.
So why should you care about all of this? Because this document is basically a masterclass in how institutions are forced to prioritize survival and maintenance over shiny new projects during economic and environmental scarcity.
Yeah, it's the harsh reality of government resource allocation.
It really is. So I want to leave you with a question to mull over. If our governments are increasingly forced into a perpetual maintenance-first survival mode due to climate and economic strain, what happens to the bold, innovative infrastructure projects of the future?